want to thank my guest for joining me this morning, Brian Questell. When we were chatting yesterday, I think Brian thought I had something big planned, but I'll tell you, Brian, first off, morning, I want to tell you what I got going on, okay?
Well, good morning. All right, let me hear it.
People say, you know, we were talking about who we wanted to do today, and we wanted to stay away from candidates and topics because the race is on, and I don't want to be accused of interfering. And say, well, what is Honor Flight has to do with Election Day? Well, I have always been taught since the youngest little boy there in Harrisburg, Illinois, that we have a responsibility to veterans on Election Day. That's the connection that I make in my heart and my head.
And that's a good connection to make. I mean, every one of us, whether we're veterans, non-veterans, whatever, have a stake in this election. So, yeah, veterans have something to win or lose from every candidate, really.
You know, and grew up hunting with guys, right? When I was young, and my dad, that didn't come back from the Vietnam War, and we didn't go rabbit hunting or squirrel hunting or anything else again. That right. Those are the people that, you know, that you knew them, and you had that responsibility to them to go out and do this thing, right?
So, and then you also have the guys that did come back that suffered injuries and are disabled, and then, you know, the VA is regulated by the federal government, so the VA has a big part of it too, and the votes that you cast have an effect on that group too. So yes,
and that's
absolutely
interesting. I had never thought of that. Thank you for that contribution. I'll keep that in mind because we got a responsibility to them that we vote for people who take care of them when they've paid such high prices. I mean, I've got friends of mine to this day, and they're actually people that you know, Brian, because they tell me they know you. That still every week go to group at the VA because that's how they get by, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And there's no shame in that game either. We as veterans, you know, whether you were in combat or just in training or whatever your stage of wearing the uniform was, you have dealt with some things that every one of us has, whether it's just through the training portion of it or the exercises or in real combat. So we all have stuff that goes on upstairs that has to be dealt with, and that goes for the general public too. It's not just veterans. Everybody has it. So
it's weird, Brian. My dad stopped by, you know, he's a veteran. He stopped by about a week ago, and he says, I thought you'd want this. It was the first picture of me in my first Army uniform when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I hadn't seen that picture in a long time. That was a good one and an emotional time for him to give that back to me, saying it's my responsibility to take care of the family photos now. So I thought that was kind of cool. How do you define Honor Flight right now? Because in my mind, with all that's going on, well, here's a cliche for you, a holding pattern.
Right, yep, that's where we're at. Limbo is what I was going to say. We're just sitting there waiting with all the preparations ready to go as soon as the national network says it's okay to go. And that keeps moving to the right. You know, we're planning for spring flights, and we fully intend to go in the spring sometime. But we're at the mercy of the decisions of the national network and, you know, how things go in the public health world. So we're just sitting waiting to say we can go. And then, you know, then it becomes how do we take care of our nation's heroes that are of upper age? That's the best way I can put it.
Well, and I'm curious.
Take them out there and honor them like we want to.
Brian, I mean, you're saying that the National Honor Flight is going to be the ones that set the standard for restarting the Southern Illinois program, or of course, they're waiting on somebody else to say something as well.
Exactly. Yeah, we're funded by Southern Illinois, and we're managed by Southern Illinoisans. Our board are all Southern Illinois, but we have to follow the lead of the national network, because it's an entire network of hubs, and we're just one hub of like 132. So we all function under their umbrella, but then we're on our own entity too, our own 501(c), but then we have to go through their network to get all of the benefits that they've set up when we get to DC and buses and park police and all the things that we use. Yeah. Everybody in the nation uses to do this. So it's a collective effort from them and in all the hubs to get our heroes out there.
And it's a big collective effort too.
It's, it's a big deal. You know, we're fortunate that we're located that we're a 1-day trip, but we run into people when we're in DC on these trips from California, and you know, they can't fly over there 1 day and then fly back. So it's a 3-day ordeal for them. So what a flight costs us in the middle of the country almost triples for them because of the 3-day event that they have to put on.
I was told that you have a number of flights already financed while we're in this holding pattern. How many?
We have two that we have already got reservations for. I don't know how else to put it, but, you know, they were scheduled for May and June, and then they moved around to September, and we just keep moving them. And we're never fully funded because we just have to keep going out to the community to keep us moving forward financially. But we do have one flight reserved and paid for, and then we have another one reserved that we're paying for. So, you know, we had to put money down on it, but we haven't paid the whole check yet because we don't even know if we're going to be able to go twice, and that's our plan to go twice in 2021.
You know, what's a problem you've got, Brian, is time doesn't care whether there's COVID, while at the same time, you and the rest of the Honor Flight Group in Southern Illinois have been fighting time when it comes to getting people on these flights, having priorities, and understanding how important it is to get this done because the clock is ticking on your participants and your veterans.
Yeah, I don't, you know, you don't want to think about that, but that's, this year is going to go by with no flights, and we just can't even fathom how many veterans we're going to miss in that year because we just didn't have time to get to them. And that's the sad part for me. It really does choke me up because we, you know, there's people that we had scheduled for flight 7 and they had seats, and flight 7 may not go off till spring 2021. And there may be seats that guys can't get to because this year has gone by the way it has. So,
all right. And here's why Brian gets choked up. Because he has firsthand of experience with the veterans and the reaction they have while they're in D.C. Because you and I started this conversation with a responsibility to veterans when it comes to voting, right? The
yes,
price that's been paid. And they have a responsibility to their cohorts. You know, right? And when they go, they remember the people that went with them before them, right? It's a personal experience. And when you're in a group of them and you see the expressions on their face and the emotional response and the thank yous that come pouring out, there's no reason why somebody wouldn't get emotional when somebody could potentially be deprived of that experience.
Yeah, exactly. Never, you know, like I said, I've been on all 6 honor flights out of Southern Illinois, and that's an honor in itself to be with, you know, 57, 65, up to 85 heroes on one flight, and then to see the reaction of everybody we come in contact with throughout the day and the appreciation that they show the guys that served the country. And when, you know, we come off the airplane and there's a band there waiting on them, and then their smiles pop up and they realize that, hey, we, United States of America, really do appreciate what you did for us. We do. We get it. And that's when they figure out what the day is going to be about, is when we come out of the airplane and it starts and the smiles come on their face and they realize, hey, I really am appreciated. And that's what the whole thing is about, is letting those guys know, and ladies, when they are part of our honor flight experience, that when they leave, they know to the last bone of their body that we care what they did and that we appreciate it. That's the thing we want to, the message we want to send them. And we want to take every single veteran that served from our area out there, whether it was in combat, peacetime, whatever it is, we want to take everybody. Everybody deserves that honor, and we want them to know that.
You know, it's weird, but when Honor Flight first started, you know, I got real excited about it because I knew about the nationwide program and the prospect here. And as I said, my dad's a veteran and other members of my family as well. And, you know, and I for a while, I, I saw the enthusiasm on Honor Flight, and I was surprised by it. And I said, why? You know, I started thinking to myself, why you should you be surprised? The same thing you think, right? You're not alone when you realize, you know. My dad is a prime example. You know, he's in a jungle, and, you know, 40 hours later, he's in a cornfield in Saline County. It was a shock, right?
Right.
You know, and I've talked to other guys who, you know, suddenly I'm one place and then I'm standing here the next thing, and my mind has not changed gears. And other people, I think I was surprised for a time, but I shouldn't be. I mean, I understand it. A great many other people get it. And the fact that you've seen such overwhelming financial support, it's been great. And we shouldn't be surprised that people have finally come through this funnel. And I think that the Honor Flight is also, and I think of it this way, Brian. I see you in the top of a light tower with a spotlight going, this is the thing you should be looking at. If even just for a few minutes, this is important. It may not be the first story, but it's a big story. It's an important story.
And it's a continuing story. We still have military men and women in combat, in uniform today. And eventually, somewhere down the road, when somebody takes over for me and takes on the Southern Illinois Honor Flight, they take them down the road. That's the whole thing. We never are going to run out of those guys and ladies that serve this country so we can be free.
Yeah.
So let's continue to serve them and show them our appreciation through this one day. And then through that, this community that we live in, which never ceases to amaze me, comes through to finance these with donations.
Yeah.
And at, you know, $75,000-$80,000 a hit, you think Southern Illinois doesn't have that kind of money, but we do, and we care, and it's a $5 donation here and a $83,000 donation there. And that's how we do this thing. It's just spectacular how well our community has supported us and keep us moving forward, and we're ready to go. Another thing that I've been fearing in this time of, you know, limbo, as I said earlier, is – can we keep the group together to keep pushing forward, to keep the momentum going, so when we can go, we have the team together? And our Southern Illinois Veterans Honor Flight team has not slowed down a bit. We'll have a meeting this Friday. We'll have a group of people on a WebEx call, and we'll plan for the next flight. And we've been doing that monthly without fail, and the same group of people are still excited and are just waiting and chomping at the bit to take our heroes out to D.C.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that, because I was going to ask you about that, whether you'd seen the support wave. What do you have to do to keep it, you know, kind of motivated during this calm? Before I let you go, we talked about the clock ticking, and there's always – and you talk about everybody, and because I've got a nephew with the National Guard, right? He's sitting in the middle of a desert right now, probably doing guard duty about now, matter of fact. And, you know, and so there are all these people out here, right? But who are your priority when you resume honor flights when it comes to age and war, I mean, in groups? Because World War II is becoming an elite group, a very elite group now.
Yeah, what we do is we want everybody to apply. And they can go to our website, veteranshonorflight.org, and fill out a veteran's application. And then what we do as a team is when we get a date plane and a airplane reserved, then we fill the seats on that plane oldest first. So now we do have the priority goes to, if we do get an application from a terminally ill veteran, they are number one. And then from that point on, we go oldest first, and we just go straight down the line and ask the oldest guy or lady and then fill in the seat. And until we get to the bottom, I think the youngest person we've taken in our age is 75 years old. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to do. That for that reason is to make sure that we get everybody out there and we have time to do it. This year has taken we've taken a whole chunk of time out of our available flights, and now we got to move that faster. So we had intentions in 2020 to take three flights to catch up our list. Well, now we've taken all of 2020 out, so now our list has gotten longer, and now we got to try to get guys out there and ladies out there as soon as possible.
Brian Quistel, hey, where's that website, Brian?
VeteransHonorFlight.org.
Right. So keep that in mind. Brian, it's been great to have you on the air this morning.
Thanks, Tom.
It's interesting, Brian. I was just thinking, you know, hearing you talk and in my experience, and I remember asking my dad why he was going to war, and I remember this quote very vividly. I was young. "So you don't have to." That's a mantra that could be repeated over and over again between fathers, sons, and daughters across this country. Why do you do this? So you don't have to.
Exactly right. Yep. Yeah. Somebody has to wear the uniform, and we're a volunteer force. Nobody is, after Vietnam has been drafted, so now it's just volunteers because they want to, and that's enough, because you don't have to. They want to, so you don't have to.